Blog Talk Radio.
Get wet for me. I'll do whatever needs to be done for our bodies to unite and become as one. I wanna make love to you nice and slowly, swift and deeply. But before I do that, I'll have to get you ready. I'll dispatch my fingers on a mission to tease. My tongue will write messages that only your reactions can read. It swirls from one side of your neck to the other, while my fingers rub, slide, and glide in perfect synchronization, igniting your lustful imagination, preparing you for penetration as soon as you get wet for me. Fingers continue to rise up your inner thighs. Are you getting there? Am I turning you on? Do you want me as badly as I want you? If so, all you need to do is get wet for me. Fingers arrive at their final destination and begin to slide in and out. My lips and tongue also begin to descend. Do you mind if they join in? I submerge your jewel into my mouth and marinate it with the spices of stimulation, causing your hips to move in a sensuous configuration. This is a sure sign that you're ready. A sure sign that you have gotten wet for me.
And welcome to Delicious Talk. This is Gail Delicious Johnson. This evening I have my very special guest that was here last month. We're doing a part two to the show. And if I sound a little, my voice sounds worse than it generally sounds, it's because I have a cold or I'm suffering from some type of ailment right now. But I'm going to hang in and do the show regardless because the show must go on. And I'd like to bring in my co-host, Rhea. Everybody, if you haven't met Rhea, she was on the last show. She's my permanent co-host now, helping me with the show. Rhea, are you there?
Yes, I am.
How are you doing this evening?
I'm doing good. Thank you very much. You sound a little bit better.
Oh, thank you. You know we're going to have a real treat tonight. So, yeah,
and I make my phone on mute because I kind of giggle sometimes, so I'll mute my phone.
Well, you better get a towel or something. But anyway,
okay.
Yes, ma'am. And you guys out there listening, you better get a towel too. Yeah, my special guest, the Next Level Surface Unto, the spoken word scene in 1996 with his provocative, romantic poetry. Today, his blend of passion-filled romanticism continues to stimulate and burn on the hearts and minds of today's woman. The Next Level writes and speaks as if each poem was crafted and designed especially for each woman. His blend of poetry is said to be disarming, arresting, ultimate, oh my goodness, visual and very intimate. Whether online or when the Next Level is in live performance, the Next Level fan base has remained loyal and continually yearns for more, hearing their pleas and wanting to take his words and message to the next level. Next Level envisioned the unique concept of intertwining his romantic poetry and original colorful musical tones, hot beats, and dynamic tempos that would complement each other perfectly. Out of this union of words and music, the Next Level's premier CD, Back to Intimacy, was born. Without a doubt, once you have expressed the creative vision of the Next Level, his poetry, his music, his name, and the emotional substance of each piece, you confirm that you have been propelled to the next level of romance. And that's what our talk is going to be about this evening, intimacy. So with no further ado, let's bring on the Next Level. Hello.
Hello. How you doing, Gail? And hello to your co-host.
Her name is Rhea.
Hello, Rita.
Rhea.
Hello.
Rhea. Hello, Rhea. I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's okay. How you doing this evening?
I'm doing good. I'm doing good. I'm doing good.
So you're ready to get things moving?
Oh, yeah, I'm ready. I mean, you know, bring it on. Let's do it.
Right, because the last show we didn't get, you know, to get to cover as many of the topics that I had in mind. So, you know, this is a part two. And if anybody wants to listen to the show or would like to chat in the chat room, create an account and come on into the chat room, or if you're just listening by phone and people who don't have the number that are on the computer, whatever, the call-in number is 1-646-652-2877. You might want to call in with questions or comments, or you may be just listening. When you call in, hit the one that will raise your hand, and I'll bring you in for your question or comment. Now, in our last show, we touched on a lot of things, but like I said, we didn't really, you know, touch on other things that I had in mind for our last show, such as we're going to talk about, of course, it's intimacy. We're going to talk about good sex, bad sex, toys, just everything as far as intimacy is concerned, and, you know, what turns people on. And how to keep a relationship hot, you know, different things like that. So we're going to get right into our first topic. We're going to talk about intimacy. What is intimacy to you, Next Level?
I guess it's it exists on a couple different levels. You know, a certain level of communication and understanding of your partner, how to approach them mentally, physically, and even understanding when they kind of like need their own space. I think all of that is kind of related to, you know, different degrees of intimacy. On the physical sense, I guess it's knowing what she likes, how to do it, how long to do it. You know, and like I said, what not to do, and just creating that environment where, you know, both people feel that the interaction is going to be beneficial to both parties. It's something that everybody involved can enjoy.
Okay. So, say when you want to get involved in a relationship, just, you know, what is what type of things do you use to get involved in a relationship? What type of lines do you use? Is there any special line, or, you know, how does that go?
Oh, you mean like
how do you approach a woman? Yeah, how you want to approach a woman that you want to be, you know, intimate with or start a relationship with? Because some men, you know, they use the same old lines over and over. Women get tired of hearing the same things over and over.
Right.
And you know, maybe there may be something you could say that, you know, is a little different that, you know, a woman would really like to hear, you know, opposed to, hey, babe, you sure look good in that short skirt. And, you know, those, you know, weak lame lines like that, you know, something more mature, something that will, you know, make a woman think and say, well, wow, I really, you know, want to talk to this person or get to know this person.
Right. Well, for me, you know, I don't really have, and people don't, you know, people kind of are surprised because, you know, I'm a poet, romantic poet, erotic
mm-hmm.
poet, but I don't really have a line. You know, for me, I think the most important thing is just getting to, is really being comfortable with that person, you know what I mean? And I can't really tell you what I'll say until I'm placed in that situation. I mean, most of the time it's just like, hello. You know,
mm-hmm.
and just see how they respond from there. And then, you know, we just kind of strike up a conversation and see, you know, what our interests are about. And from there, you know, it just kind of builds. You know, I'm not one to just kind of be out hunting. You know
mm-hmm.
what I'm saying? And even if I was to see somebody that I thought was interesting, that I might be interested in or whatever, you know, my opening line would be, hello, how are you? And then, you know,
okay.
just take it from there.
Right. Okay, let me ask you this. Where's a, like a setting? Would it be in a bar or a museum would you prefer? Or do you, you know, have any special place? But, you know, what I'm trying to see is men who pick women up from bars, they basically seem like it's only for one thing. So would your preference to be at a bar, or if you're at a museum, would you rather, you know, approach a lady who's in a museum and approaching her in a bar?
I mean, you know, it just, it really depends. You know, situations are different, but for me, you know, I'm more likely to be, you know, man, at like, Starbucks, Borders, you know. Only time I really go to the bar is to shoot pool, you know, and I'm really into shooting pool. So, you know, I'm not really, you know, I don't really have my radar up, you know what I mean, checking the room, seeing who's checking me out or looking for an opportunity. I mean, I've met women in bars, but it's still been the same. We just kind of like, you know, I just, like I said, haven't been out on the prowl. But for me, you know, more so than, like, I feel more comfortable, like you said, maybe at Borders, Barnes & Nobles, a museum, like you said, because there's, you know, there's a common interest there. You know, if she's looking at, you know, a Monet or, and, you know, and I come up and I know about it, you know, I might strike up, you know, what you know, what particular technique or whatever. What is it that you like about this painting? You know what I'm
mm-hmm.
saying? And then we could strike up a conversation like that if I'm feeling that or she's feeling it or whatever. You know what I mean? So
right.
I think some place like that would be a little bit more, you know, more neutral territory where we could have an authentic conversation.
Okay. Now, what is your attraction to a woman? Is it her physical or her mental mentality?
A little bit of everything, you know what I mean? But once we get past the physical, you know, I mean, I guess we're all visual beings, you know what I mean? But once we get past the physical, it's definitely mental. You know, I really need to be nourished as far as, you know, how deep is her, what's her depth of knowledge in certain areas, you know, and even about herself. And then, my, of course, myself too. You know, do I have the answers that she's looking for as far as our conversation goes? But I think for me, yeah. Once we get past the initial visual attraction, then yeah, it definitely needs to be something happening mentally for it to be able to sustain itself. Because I just can't be. I mean, what kind of conversation is that? Oh, you're pretty. Oh, you're pretty. Oh, you look good. Oh, you're fine. Oh, you're pretty. Oh, you look good. I mean, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I'm stimulated by mental conversation. Deep conversation to me is stimulating. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Okay. what's his name? Steve Harvey has a book, Think Like a Woman, Act Like a Man. I haven't read it, but I've heard some of the things that he has in that book. And there's something in there about a 90-day wait before you engage in sexual activities. Now, if you see a woman and she's, you know, y'all feeling each other, how would you feel if she initiated you having sex the first time that, you know, y'all met?
I'd be cool with that. You know, I don't really adhere to, you know, other individual standards, rules, and regulations and mores and different things like that, because every individual situation is different. I mean, I've met women and, you know, we hooked up that same night and wound up having a great relationship. And, you know, I've met women and, you know, it may have taken a minute before we got intimate. But that doesn't necessarily mean that, you know what I mean? It was more, it was, you know what I mean, that it had more depth because I waited versus a situation happening the way it happened, you know what I mean? Sometimes,
right,
you know, the energy is just, everything is just flowing the way it needs to flow. Now, you know, there's a lot of guys that say, well, you know, if she does it the first night, she ain't this, she ain't that.
Right.
But, you
mm-hmm.
know, the other thing is, well, you did it the first night, so what does that make you? You know what I'm
yeah.
saying? So it's a two-way thing there. So like I said, I don't really adhere to, I just live in the moment. You know what I mean? If it happens, I'm feeling her, you know, then it is what it is.
Okay. Now, when you get into a relationship, what are the most important things that you need to know about this person, you know, before you actually commit to a relationship? Do you ask them about their past sexual partners? Is that important? Or, you know, you just ask them the, you know, just the main important things? Or is that an important thing to ask them about their past sexual partners?
Well, I mean, I don't think I'm in a place to, you know, like I said, I done been out here. You know what I mean? I done a lot of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I guess if she's had more sexual partners than me, then whatever, you know what I mean? But I don't really adhere to all those rules. I mean, if it comes up and it becomes an issue, then fine. But, you know, we've all done things in our past that we're now proud of, this, that, and the other. You know, like I've heard things where, you know, well, you know, she got down with the football team and blah, 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 blah. You know, the woman got down with the football team. But, you know, what about the guys that got down with her
mm-hmm.
that was standing in line behind the next guy, the next guy, the next
mm-hmm.
guy? You know what I mean? So it goes both ways. You know what I mean? For me, it's more or less, and like I said, and I done been like a hustler, and, you know, I done worked with women who were hustlers. You know what I mean? And they just did what they did at that point in time in their life, you know. And I just think that realistically, there can't be a double standard. You know, I don't think
right.
you can expect a woman to do no more than what you've done. If you've been with 70 women, and you know what I mean, and you got a problem with her being with more than that, then that's your issue.
Right.
You know what I mean?
So what do you think of the fact where they say that, okay, say like if you met a woman and she slept with 50 men, they're saying you are sleeping with 50 men as well. That's, you know, I never thought of it like that.
You know, she slept with, if you've been with 50 women, she's sleeping with 50 women. I mean, you know, like I said, it's just a double standard.
Right, but I...
And I just don't adhere to it. You know what I'm saying? I just, it's not really that important to me. You know what I mean? The most important thing is, it's like, where am I at with this person? And to be honest with you, a lot of times that don't even, you know, those conversations probably come up later on down the road or whatever. You know what I'm saying? And it is what it is. Like I said, it'd be different if I've only been with, you know, 3 or 4 women in my life. Then maybe I might have a problem with that because that's all I know.
Mm-hmm.
But I think my encounters have given me a much deeper and broader understanding of who I am as a person and what to look for in a woman. And you know what I mean? It just kind of like set the standard of how, you know, of my understanding of relationships and how to deal with them and all of that. So for me, you know what I mean, I don't mind having a woman that's, you know, seasoned. And because this is the other thing too, if she tells you, okay, I've only been with 10 men, how do you really know?
That's true.
You know what I mean? And if that's going to be, if that's going to be the primary situation that's going to make you judge her, then, I mean, you know, I don't know. You know what I mean? I think that's up to the person.
Right, because I don't really think it's important, you know, when you're in a relationship with somebody, what you did with somebody else really should not even be in your relationship, because sometimes when those things come up, it will cause problems, because a person may be set on thinking that one thing, one way about you, and you tell them something else, then they get, you know, well, I can't be with you because you've been with Tom, Dick, and Harry, and, you know, so my thing is, you know, don't ask, don't tell.
Well, I mean, if you've been, like, for most of these, you know, a lot of these guys that say that have been with numerous women themselves. I mean, you can't be
mm-hmm.
a player and be out here, you know what I mean? Okay, I want a woman that, you know, has only been with 5 guys. Like I said, you know, I don't know. To me, you know, I would want, you know, a woman that is a little bit more seasoned, you know what I mean? Because that
right.
means, you know, she knows what to do. I'm not saying she knows, but I mean, she's just more cognizant of the experience, you know what I mean? So for me, like I said, I just don't adhere to all these rules and regulations that are set out by certain individuals, because I just think that they're just one-sided, you know what I mean?
Right.
And you can say, well, you know, I think a man, you know, make a man wait this long or whatever, whatever, whatever. I mean, if that's how you want to roll, that's fine. And if that works for you, cool. But
yeah.
Like I said, me, I just roll the way I roll, man. I'm not really worrying about anybody's rules and regulations but my own.
Right.
You know what I
mean? I've known some friends of mine that was in one night stands that lasted for years, you know. So
right.
I don't base it on waiting 60 days or 90 days or anything like that. It just depends on how I'm feeling about that person and how that person is feeling about me.
Yeah, that's real. Everything else is kind of mechanical and generic. And, I mean, where do you get these numbers from? You know what
yeah.
I mean? You know what I mean? What scientific process has, you know what I mean, or formula, and who came up with it, and, you know, what's the data on it and all of that? You know what I mean? Because if a guy's a dog, he's going to be a dog after 30 days, after 90 days, after whatever. You know what I mean?
Right.
Because he might have read the same book, and he just, you know what I'm saying? So it's the only thing that's really relevant is what happens when you're in each other's space and how genuine it is. And until whenever time, you know, you decide to go your separate ways or you decide to, you know what I mean, come together.
Right, that's true. Mm-hmm. But something else I wanted to talk about too, how some men be in relationships. Well, some men who are in relationships with women, and they don't want their women to do certain things, so they get other women to do things. It's like some men, they don't want their significant other, their girlfriend, their wives, or whatever, they don't want them to have all sex with them, but they'll go out and get it from another woman. What, you know, what's that all about? You know,
well,
I think if a person has a total package at home, then, you know, they wouldn't have to go out and do that. But they
mm-hmm.
don't want this particular woman at home to do those things.
Yeah. Well, some of them feel like, you know, this is my girl, you know what I mean? And I just, you know, I don't want her doing this really freaky stuff, so I just go ahead and get out here and find, you know, somebody else that's wide open to do all of that stuff, and then just save my girl for, you know what I mean, just a normal, boring type of sex. You know what I'm saying? And I'm like you. I mean, if I can get it at home, why make the extra trip? You know what I'm saying? And for me, like I said, I want my woman to be all of those things. You know
right.
what I mean? I want it if she's comfortable with it, then let's go with it. You know what I'm saying? But I've heard those, and it didn't really make a whole lot of sense to me, but, you know, that's how they move. So that's how they move. You know, they ask me, I just like, yo, I just want, you know, if that's my girl and she's willing to do what I want to do, then, you know, that's all the better. It's a lot more convenient. It's a lot more easier. And, you know, I just don't really see the logic in it. But it's not for me to, you know, point fingers at judge or whatever. But for me, yeah, I would want my woman to just be just as freaky and out there as I am.
Yeah, to satisfy you. So that keeps you at home. You know, not to say that all men, some men still will go out there. But if, you know, if you're in a relationship and you love your woman and she's willing to do whatever it is to take to keep you home or keep you satisfied and you're doing whatever it is to keep her satisfied, then, you know, it's no need for you to go anywhere.
Yeah. I mean, that could just be an excuse to just get out there. You know what I mean? I don't never know. Because, I mean, you really can't. When people have these certain guidelines and rules and regulations, I just noticed that their level or their depth of thinking is kind of limited to those rules and regulations. So you can't really get into a deep, meaningful conversation about, you know, where does this come from and what's the mentality behind it, you know what I mean? And you know, how do you really feel about it? Because, you know, it's kind of like they're dismissing, you know, their instincts and just kind of like going with a certain set of procedures, you know?
Right. Rhea, do you have any questions for Next Level?
I had to take y'all from mute. I'm curious more than anything else.
Sure.
Let me ask you, what's your age?
I'm 51 now.
Well, that's wonderful. I'm a proponent of doing away with that double standard, what I call double standard bull. And it's good to hear a man speak along those lines, because a lot of men, even those that are out there, still judge women in accordance. And I'm a proponent for do what you want to do, be what you want to do, just do it safely.
Yeah, and I'm with that too. I mean, like I said, it's basically, you know, a double standard, you know. And like I said, I don't think that you can impose something on your woman that you're not doing or that you don't adhere to yourself. I just think that, and I really think that that's the problem. You know, there's a lot of scenarios out here. I just don't think they're realistic, you know what I mean? But people buy into them or whatever. Everybody has their crew that they run with. And then, you know, people might not, you know, really dig or be feeling what I'm saying. But for me, it just works. I just think that, you know, if we're looking at this thing realistically, you know what I mean? And I think it goes back to kind of like objectifying women, you know what I mean? Putting them in unrealistic scenarios and you know, added pressures and stuff like that that don't really need to be there, because, you know, you've given us the courtesy to allow it to be there or whatever. But there's a lot of this stuff that's out here, man, that these cats are saying that I don't really buy into. And it's just not be of my age. I mean, I've always kind of felt like that. But I think it's an age thing, too, when you're young and you just kind of like, well, this is how I want my woman to be. This is blah, 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 blah. But then, you know, my question is, what kind of man are you for her? You know what I mean? Is she happy with you? You doing all of this, you making all these demands. How happy is she with you? Yeah. And I'll ask, you know, my woman the same question about me. Well, how happy are you with me as a man, as a lover, and all those other things? But it just always seems kind of like one-sided. Well, you know, if she don't do this, she ain't wifey. If she can't do that, she ain't wifey. And, you know, well, what about you? Are you husbandy? You know what I mean? And so, you know, we just got to really look at it. I just think we just really need to see each other as equals. And when we do that, I think our relationships on whatever level they exist will just be a lot more genuine and a lot more meaningful.
Right.
You touched
right.
on something that is another, I guess, stickler, pet peeve, whatever you want to call it, of mine. that statement, what you want to do, the next person will.
Right.
That bothers me to the core because there's always going to be something else. So that's not a valid something as far as I'm concerned, but so many people buy into it. And the unfortunate part of what I'm starting to see, especially since I've been on Facebook and have had conversations with what I call the young people. I'm 48, and I have children that range from 20 to 29.
Right.
And so when I say young people, I mean, you know, that, you know, younger than me, young people. And it's like, you all out here free-flocking like that and doing all this, that, and the other. There's no standards or no nothing, and then you wonder why it doesn't develop and go anywhere because everything about it is nothing but sex.
Yeah.
Sometimes
you have to get out the bed. Well, I mean, you know, they grew up in a different period. You know, like once hip-hop, because you have to realize something that they came up, a lot of them came up with them between gangster rap and what's going on now. So they've been indoctrinated into this whole thing where it's just about, you know, meaningless sex. Women are just objects to be moved and manipulated, or men have to, you know what I mean, do this, look like that, spend this type of money, have this type of, you know, everybody needs to have these particular name brands and everything like that in order to be accepted. So, I mean, we just moved away from the whole interior of, you know, the whole inner spectrum of life, and it's just been all surface. So, you know what I mean? So there's no point of reference as far as people just really being able to, you know, have some type of inner connection to themselves and really understand, you know, what love is all about. You know, I've had the opportunity to, you know, meet some younger brothers who have heard my work, and you know, I was kind of surprised at how they responded to it, because they want to go there, you know, they would like to express themselves to women, but you know, they don't know how to, and then some of the younger women don't know how to receive it, and you know, it's just, we've just been bombarded with all these, you know what I'm saying, selfish, one-sided, one-dimensional, cardboard cutout images. So that's all they know, versus us, you know, listening to the old school Marvin Gaye, you know what I mean, back in the day where a brother really had to bring it from the mouthpiece in order to have this woman love him and care for him. But he wanted to do that because he saw that she was worth that, you know what I mean? So it wasn't nothing to say, you know, this is how I feel about you, I want us to move like this, or whatever, because, you know, he knew that she was worth it, and he didn't see that expressing himself to her in this type of way made him less of a man, or it compromised his swagger or something like that. You know what I mean? I just think that these are all misconceptions, man, that have been, you know what I mean, indoctrinated into these kids' minds, man, to kind of like perpetuate the whole, you know, the whole new Jim Crow thing, you know what I'm saying? So, yeah, there's really just a disconnect, man. We don't even, these kids don't even exist in each other's space in a respect of, they talk about respect, but they don't give it. They want it, but
right,
they don't give it. You know what I mean? They don't even understand, you know, really what it all means until they get older, I guess. You know what I mean? Because when you start seeing these guys in their 20s and 30s and their pants are still hanging down, you know, I mean, in their 30s going into their 40s, you know what I mean? You just got to say, okay, nah, they coming out of that era. But you have to realize something that, you know, I lived in L.A. during that era. I worked with individuals on death row and all that other stuff. And, you know, all that was studio stuff. All that thing, you know, the whole thing, all that rap stuff, it is just really an illusion, you know what I mean, that they buy into, you know what I mean? But really, when you think about it, because, you know, I've been a hustler, you know what I mean? But I'm from the old school where if you're a hustler, if you're out there selling drugs or doing this or whatever, your objective is not to get caught. So there's a certain way that you're not going to dress. There's a certain way that you're not going to act, because you need to stay under the radar in order to do what you have to do in a proficient manner. You don't get out there, you selling drugs, and the first thing you got to do is drop your pants, put a bunch of metal in your mouth, get the loudest car you can get, and let everybody know, hey, this is what I'm doing, because look at what I got. You know what I mean? To impress a woman that, you know, you don't even care about. I mean, you know, a lot of stuff that we got, that the guys do at the end of the day is to impress women. You know what I mean? We might be trying to impress each other, but at the end of the day, what we're really trying to do is trying to, you know what I mean, find somebody we can get naked with. You know what I'm saying? And, but yeah, I mean, there's just been, it's been all twisted around, man, you know, to the point to whereas there is no understanding about love, you know. But like I said, I've had a lot of positive responses where I think that where I found, you know, where I was really surprised that young guys, you know, wouldn't take to it. But then I've also heard guys that say, you know what, man, this love thing is for the, it's for the birds, you know. This is how we need to be handling these bees, and they ain't nothing but this and that. You know what I mean? I kind of feel sorry for, you know, a brother that is in that mentality. I mean, because, you know, he is just as bad as one of those white supremacists, man, or, you know, one of those, you know, predators out there. You know what I mean? And he's, and they're perpetuating this crime, at, or, you know, upon our own women. You know what I'm saying? And that's what kind of disturbs me about that. They don't even understand what it is, you know.
Yeah. That's definitely the truth, because, you know, coming up in the generation that I came up in, you know, actually a guy would ask you to be his woman. Nowadays you get with a guy, you don't know if you're his girlfriend, his friend, or what, because that's how they carry it. You know, they don't, you know, initiate the thing like that. You go out to the movies a few times, they take you out to dinner, have sex, and that's it. But when I was coming up, before anything, the first thing would come out of a guy's mouth is, would you be my woman? You know,
right.
Then after that, you know, you go out to movies, dinner, skating, or whatever it was that we did back in the day. So, you know, things have changed so much. And, you know, like you said, this music and, you know, how they degrade women, and, you know, they think that's fine, but it's not. It's, you know, these, they need to discontinue that music, or have it so that, I don't know, I don't really particularly care for hip-hop, especially when they're degrading women and saying all the derogatory things that they say in music. Now you turn the radio on and you hear all kind of things. They just, some songs I hear, I really can't even believe that somebody let them sing those songs, you know, or rap about the things that they have in these songs now. I really, you know, I just don't see how it gets out there.
Well, it's making money. People are buying it. You know what I mean? That's how it got out, because you think about it. When gangster rap first came out, there were all these proponents against it, blah, 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 blah. But as soon as they saw it started making money, then it was a whole different thing. Then all of a sudden, the main players backed up off of it because people were getting paid. As long as they buying it, you know what I mean, it's going to be out there. As soon as we start buying it, and you know what I mean, then the market is just going to change. You know, but if they're buying it, they're going to throw it out there. You know what I'm saying? And that's just how it is. I mean, you know, I produce. I work with jazz musicians and, you know what I mean, actual singers and stuff like that. So, yeah, it hurts my ears to hear it too. And then by me knowing, you know, where the game started and the technology, I mean, there's just so many things that with the musical instruments and all that that we could do, that we just dreamed of doing back in the day, that we can do right now, but they're not, you're really taking advantage of this technology in the way that they should. You know what I mean? But I think that a lot of it has to go back to, you know, us assuming some responsibility as parents as far as being able to give them, our kids, some type of points of reference too, you know, and how to conduct themselves and understand, you know, what this madness is out here, and that they have a choice. And to be a gentleman or to act like a lady ain't about being square. It's about really preparing yourself to be a functional citizen out here in society. Because at the end of the day, you know what I'm saying, being a hoodie and the thug and all of that, that only exists in a few, in a, you know, a couple square blocks. And but if you're trying to really get out here in the real world, you need to understand what the real game is about. You know what I mean? And you know, you can pull them pants, you can wear your pants all down there, this, that, and the other, and you know, live at home with your mama as long as you can. But then that'll be the extent of your knowledge of the world versus really doing what you need to do, educating yourself, you know what I mean, extending right. your vocabulary so, like I said, you can get out here in the real world and function and be able to take care of yourself and your family.
Right. Okay, we're going to take a musical break and we'll be right back.
At the mall, couldn't find a place to park. Threw my keys to the valet and left for me. I was only there to hang, wasn't looking for a thing. I was just about to bounce, and then I saw Miss Lady. Then I said to myself, on a Macy's, that's where a pretty girl's hang. Then I saw her at the food court, sipping lemonade, conversating on a cell phone, looking so amazing. And I said to myself, to the cookout,
yeah, her
gon' hang. Take her to my mama's house,
be talking now.
If she need a hair done,
my cousin can.
I'll treat her like a queen, give her everything.
She will be my girl till we old and gray.
And I knew it from the moment that I saw her lovely, lovely.
Charlie Wilson, there goes my baby. And if you're just tuning in, we're having an intimate evening with The Next Level. And if you have any questions or comments, the call-in number is 646-652-2877. When you call in, hit the 1 that'll raise your hand, and I'll bring you in for your question or comment, or you can post it in the chat room, and I'll get to you as soon as possible. But it'd be better if you called in, because you can also speak to The Next Level. Okay, so we're going to go to the bedroom. Now, what constitutes good sex and what constitutes bad sex?
Are you asking me that?
Yes, sir.
I think, now this is just my opinion, you know, I think good sex is making love, you know. I mean, just totally being connected in the moment, you know, foreplay, intimacy. You know, it's just an infusion of where you are with each other, emotionally, mentally. You know what I mean? In that sense, you're just cognizant of your lover. She's cognizant of you. And, you know, even though you're in the act, you can still feel each other and sense where each other is, you know what I mean, at any given moment. You're connected. You know, I think bad sex is just when, you know, individuals just doing what they got to do, and, hey, if you get it, fine. If not, then whatever. Or they're just not cognizant of their lover. I think it's really important to be connected. You know what I mean? To still be paying attention. You know what I'm saying? If you're doing something and, you know, she moans this way in approval, then you know that's something you need to do. But if you do something and, you know, you're not getting a reaction and it's just kind of like, you know, or whatever, you need to be cognizant of that and realize that that's something that you don't need to do. But if you're just so wrapped up in what you're doing that you just, you know, you might as well just be there by yourself, then, you know, I don't think that's good sex, right? I think that's kind of bad sex.
Yeah.
That's
okay,
bad sex.
I consider people who are not considerate, well, mostly men, because a woman, it takes time for her to, you know, to reach her climax opposed to a man. And if he doesn't take the time to satisfy her, I consider him as not only being bad sex, but also being a selfish person. Because I think that, you know, men need to know their woman's body. Number one, get to know her hot spots and, you know, how to touch her, how to kiss her, how to, you know, caress her. And if you do all those things, that'll make it that much easier for her to, you know, to have a climax. But men who don't take that time, who are inconsiderate, just thinking about themselves, to me, that's being a selfish person.
Well, how does a man find out about?
Well, he finds out by, okay, I'm just going to use you as a scenario.
Oh, okay.
You hear me, Ree?
I'm listening.
Okay. Now, if you were to, now this is our first time hooking up, and, you know, you come to my house and whatever, and I'm going to have everything set in that mood. You know, I'm going to have the candles, the rose petals, and, you know, probably you would probably even give me like a bubble bath where we would, you know, bathe together. And that would be, you know, a part of our foreplay. You know, not to say we'll be having foreplay all day, but, you know, you get me in that mood. Then when we get into the bed, if it's something that you're not, if you're not stroking me right, I'm going to, you know, try to position myself or, you know, do something to give you an indication that it wasn't right, or either I have to verbally tell you, you know, well, you know, don't do it like that, baby, do it like this, or, you know, touch me here, kiss me here, you know, to get you on the right track so the next time that, you know, we make love, you at least know the things that turn me on, and then you can add, you know, your own little touches, you know. That's okay. Just basically, you know, for people who, you know, first get to know a person, because I know people don't make love to the next person the same way they make it to, you know, each person, I guess, you make love to differently, you know. And there are things that you do for some people that you don't do for other people. But, you know, if you, like, if you and I are in a relationship, we're going to be doing things that please the both of us. You know, and there's not going to be any, you know, any limitations on it, because I know it pleases you, and you know what you're doing pleases me, so we're going to be, you know, we're going to be doing that.
Right.
So that's how I, you know, would, you know, get a person to know my body. But then, you know, you got some guys who are basically, because I've had, you know, guys who knew what to do, you know, not to say that other guys didn't. It was just that they didn't know what I liked. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
Until I had to tell them, you know. But, you know, you have people that you have to guide them or give them a little advice. Then you have the people who come in and, you know, they just lay it down, you know, and I'm quite sure that's what you would do, you know. So if
oh, well,
I had to.
A vote of confidence.
Well, yeah, but. yeah. I really do, you know, because. You know, in our last show, we talked about different things as far as, like, what, you know, your measurements as far as being as satisfying your partner. And, you know, I think we also spoke of inhibitions, or did we? Did we talk of inhibitions in the last show?
No, we didn't.
Okay, well, we had to talk about that tonight. But, you know, I'm going to do everything that I possibly can to, you know, satisfy my mate, if this is somebody that I'm interested in or somebody I'm in a relationship with. But if it's just somebody that, say, like, if it's maybe somebody I may have, we went out to the movie, we had a good time, we laughing and talking, and, you know, then it gets to the point where we become intimate, you know, everything's not going to be like that because I don't know where we're going from there. But if, you know, something develops from it and we, you know, continue into a relationship, then, you know, maybe I'll bring all my cards to the table.
Yeah, but it'll happen gradually, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But, you know, it's a good thing when, you know, two people can be in a relationship and, you know, not have any inhibitions and satisfy each other and be considerate of each other, you know, taking care of each other's needs and, you know, that's a good thing.
I think
communication
is still imperative, you know what I mean? I just really believe in asking questions, and it's because I don't think that, and I think we talked about this before, you know, and I was just thinking about it the other day, because what works, what might just be the perfect lover for one woman doesn't necessarily mean you're going to be the perfect lover for the next. Like, I can remember, I'll just give you, and I'll just use myself as an example. I can remember, you know, one woman that wanted, you know, just intense, just needed to just be pounded. That's what she wanted.
Mm-hmm.
She just wanted just some raw, just get in there, boom. And then the next one, you know, and then you go in, okay, so you're used to being with her, and then you think the next woman wants that, and she wants to be made love to, you know what I mean? Take your time.
Right.
You know what I mean? You know, don't be getting up there, like, because it's a punching bag, all la, 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 la. And then, you know, okay, so now you slow it down, and then you meet another one, and then she wants the rough thing again. But you know what I'm saying? So I just think that, you know, you almost have to, I mean, you can take a note of your experiences, but the main thing is to really just keep your mind open and realize that, okay, this is a totally different situation. Let me go in here and find out what it is that she wants. I mean, because you just really can't assume. And what I found out is that sometimes a woman might not even tell you until after you done broke up and y'all still cool. Well, you know what? I really wish you had did this. Why
yeah.
didn't you tell me that then?
Yeah.
You know, now after the fact, you know, or whatever, you know. So I think to avoid all of that, it's just best to ask questions, you know what I mean, right out the gate. You know, once you reach that level, you ain't going to do that on the first date. Hey, what do you like sexually? I mean, unless, you know, you might get there, but I'm just saying, I just think that for me, you know, I'm not saying, you know, there's brothers there, you know, don't talk to her, don't ask her what she wants sexually for to the third or fourth or fifth date, whatever. You know what I mean? But I want to know, so I'm going to ask questions, and I don't feel that it has anything to do with my lack of knowledge. Well, it has, you know what, I'll take that back. It has something to do with my lack of knowledge of her because I've never been with her.
Right.
I just want to know. I just want to know.
Right. Rhea, you have any questions on that?
Is she on
Rhea?
Me?
I think so. Rhea?
I'm slow. I got to unmute it. pushing the wrong button. I'm like, oh, Lord, did I hang up? No. I actually, I totally agree with everything that you all were saying. And going back to that topic again, and I'm going to go back to the younger people.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think they know that other side. Because when you sit and you talk to them, okay, I have a 20-year-old
mm-hmm.
that when he was little, they used to call him old man, and they still
mm-hmm.
call him old man. He used to tell me what an old soul he was.
Mm-hmm.
And at 20, I'm starting to really see. I mean, I knew he was wise or smart or whatever, but being a mother, I think I thought it was more smart aleckly than anything else. But
mm-hmm.
I'm starting to see what some other people saw, because this boy is a whole old school to his core. Everything
mm-hmm.
about him. It's like, okay, where the heck did you get that from? Because, you know, and I can only think that he had to draw off of the example that I set before him. And I'm saying
mm-hmm.
me, because their father was not an integral part in their life.
Yeah.
And last week on Facebook, he put up a status. I was raised by a lady.
Aww.
I don't deal with the, and then he put a bunch of lines. And he
mm-hmm.
said, and those that consider themselves need to not try to deal with me. And I'm
mm-hmm.
sitting here like, okay. Now, he turned 21 in May. And I just, I sit back and I look at that and I'm like, what he put in that one statement is so much wiser than 50% of the stuff I've seen on Facebook from people who have 10, 12, 17 years on him.
Mm-hmm.
It's really, really unfortunate. I just, but I go back to that, cause, probably because I've been talking to him too much. Because it's like, y'all don't know. Really? Wow. Okay.
Well, I can say this from experience. I don't think that, you know, a mother, because I grew up in a single-parent household, too, with my mother, and
mm-hmm.
I really don't think that a mother can talk to her son too much. Now, you know, nagging and all of that is two different things, you know what I mean? But talking, because my point of reference is my mother, my aunts, you know what I mean, my godmothers and everything like that. They were basically the prototype that fashioned not only what I look for in a woman, but how to conduct myself in the presence of a woman, because they didn't tolerate anything less than, you know what I mean, me respecting them, being courteous, and all of that. So these were things that were given to me. These were gifts that were given to me by them. So I would understand when I'm in the presence of a woman who has their qualities that remind me of them, I just automatically feel the need to conduct myself in a way to show not only respect to this woman that reminds me of my mother and my aunts, but to pay homage to them through her. You know what I mean? Because
mm-hmm.
The images, the understanding, the like I said, the point of reference that a mother leaves on her son is really crucial, and it's gonna reflect what he looks for in a woman. I mean, if you really think about it, you know, a lot of times men kind of, if they have a really great relationship with their mothers and stuff, a lot of times the women that they wind up marrying are kind of similar to their mothers. Not all the time. Sometimes it might just be the complete opposite and you're just trying to figure out how she even, what happened, you know what I mean? But a lot of times, you know what I mean, when they, you know, that certain situation, you know, they're, you'll see that, you know, they'll pretty much choose a woman kind of like with the same temperament, or, you know what I mean? There'll just be things that commonalities that he sees in this woman that he's dating or that he's really serious about that reminds him of his mother. You know what I'm saying? And he'll be looking for that. I mean, that's what I do. I mean, you know what I mean? I look for certain qualities. And every time I've went off script, you know, it was like, okay, you know what I mean? But that's just experience or whatever. But, yeah, great good mothers, man, have, I mean, I think that's probably one of the most important things that a young man can have is a great mother to allow him to move through life, man, with a much better understanding of life, how to deal with women, how to deal with people, and all of that. I mean, you know, my mother passed like about 3 or 4 years ago, and there's still lessons to this day that, you know, or things that I think about that she told me that I apply to life, or, you know, my mannerisms or whatever that have helped me to, like I said, be a better person. It just all goes back to, you know, the lessons that she has taught me.
Okay, well, we have a caller on the line that probably has a question or comment. Call it 77, oh, I can't see that number without my glasses. Excuse me. Call it 786, are you there?
You know, that's bad when you can't see that screen without your glasses. You're probably sitting right in front of it, too.
That's not pitiful, yeah. Sorry about that. How you doing? You have a question or comment?
This is the one essence, and I said this is the one essence, and I have a comment.
Okay.
I was just listening to the conversations, and then you got to talking about mothers and sons, and everyone who knows me knows I adore my son, not just because he's my son, but because he really is a good guy. And there was an incident that I have to laugh at myself that happened a couple of weeks ago on Facebook. He put up a post that said his ideal woman is, you know, brown skin or light skin with long wavy hair and light brown eyes or hazel eyes. And, you know, I kind of got upset with that, because I'm like, you know what, you're out of order. You're disrespecting a whole bunch of females out there, you know, because he and I have been going back and forth. We have a war of wheels about the women, girls he chooses to date. He'll be 18 next month. And so I, you know, being the mom I am, but also being a black woman, I got offended. I was like, you got to take that down. I'm offended by that. And my daughter, Hilda 22, she's the level-headed one of us. She said, Mom, read that description again. I said, well, he took it down. I asked him to take it down, he took it down. She said, well, let me tell you again. And she repeated it to me, and she said, who is that?
He was describing you.
Oh, my goodness. And I mean, I let him have it. You know, I let him have it. And when she broke it down to me, thank God for my children, because they keep me grounded, I was like, oh, my goodness. I never apologized, though. I probably should, but I'm kind of embarrassed. I'm embarrassed. But when he describes his mother, and I'm awfully flattered, even though I'm still embarrassed, but that is true. Now, I have to agree with the guest tonight. He apparently thinks his mom is really attractive, and I'm flattered.
Yeah, but I think you should, though. I think you should apologize. Not because I think because you should just let him know that, you know, that sometimes we just make mistakes, and that's a lesson for him to learn. Well, you know what? If he does something like that, he'll apologize, because I think that, you know, we're also setting, you know, the standard of what type of parents our kids are going to become as well. You know what I mean?
So, fact of the matter that he did it without question. He took it down, and he never said anything about it. Now, he didn't even try to explain it. He did what he was asked to do, and he didn't mention anything more about it. I think that speaks to his temperament, his respect for me, and the fact of the man his father raised him to be. So, because he didn't say a word. I fussed at him, and he took it right down and did not say, Mom, you know, he didn't say anything about it. So I think that speaks for his character as well as the way the man his father raised him to be.
But it seems like to me, and I can say from my point of view that, you know, just judging on your character from what I've heard or whatever, he didn't really have a choice. he was going to get taken down one way or the other.
So, well, you know.
Yeah, so I'm just saying that. Because you ain't bending. You know what I mean? And that's cool. You know, it is what it is. But I think that basically what's happening is if he's showing you, I mean, he has put a description of his ideal woman as being you. You misinterpreted and you got on him. He took it down and hadn't said anything, but I think there's some unresolved issues that are happening. He might be hurt behind it, and he's not saying nothing because he probably ain't authorized to say anything, and this is an opportunity.
Don't get it twisted. My children are not, they weren't raised on intimidation, but they were raised that what mama's word is mama's word, and if she tells you to do something, that's what you do. That's the bottom line. And if he did have some kind of psychosis about what he was saying, I promise you he would have told his sister. That's how close
they
are.
That's not telling you, though. But anyway, I understand what you're saying, but I'm just telling you from as being a son to a mother, and me and my mom was, like, really open, but I also knew other sons, you know, my friends who had, you know, different types of relationships where, like you said, I mean, my mom was stern too, but we could talk, and I think, I'm just saying, you know what I mean? Of course, you're going to handle it the way you want to handle it, but he really idolizes you, and he showed that by that description, and like I said, I just think that, you know, that's just my opinion, but I think you guys should really talk about it, because he loves you, man. He loves you.
Oh, I know he does.
Yeah,
I know he does. And eventually I will. I'm not the taskmaster that may seem, but I have always commanded respect for my children. And at this point and at their age, I don't have to command it anymore. It's automatic. But, you know, we'll talk about it. I'll bend, you know, when I get over being embarrassed and talk to him about it. I just haven't done it yet. I just thought it was ironic as far as agreeing with you as that. They don't go straight too far. If they've got a good example, they don't stay straight too far from it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because even when I was out in the game hustling and dealing with all these different types of women, you know, I knew who I could take my mother home to. I mean, who I could take home to my mother and who just would never see her. And then, you know, even I was, you know, just like, man, if my mother only knew what I was out here doing, she would just be so ashamed of me. You know what I mean? It would really be embarrassing. It would hurt her. And that had a lot to do with me just really eventually just walking away because I didn't go to jail. I didn't get caught and other things like that. But in the back of my mind, even though I had success in what I was doing, you know, I always felt that, you know, I was raised better than this. And I would hate if something was to happen to me out here or I was to get killed or something, you know, how would my mom feel that I got caught up in this type of scenario when, you know, I didn't really have to do this to survive or whatever, you know what I mean? So that, you know, your presence lives with us all the time, you know what I mean?
Okay. Well, I will keep that in mind, and I will work on my embarrassment and eventually apologize.
Okay, we're going to take a little musical break, and we'll be right back and continue with In the Bedroom.
Walk with me.
Thank you.
Just tuning in. My guest this evening is The Next Level, and we're talking intimacy. My co-host Rhea is on the line, and if you'd like to call in, if you have a question or comment, the number is 646-652-2877. And if my voice is sounding worse than it usually sounds, it's because I have a cold or something's going on with me. I don't know what it is, but we're going to get right back into the show with The Next Level. Okay, we already talked about bad sex or good sex. You know, there's a saying that you should never go to bed angry with your partner. Do you suppose when you don't, you should have sex or you talk it out, or, you know, how would you handle that?
I don't know. Every situation is different. Sometimes, you know, makeup sex or angry sex or, you know, I don't know. You know, it's really different, you know. Sometimes I think that you shouldn't go to bed angry, but sometimes, you know, y'all just be so mad that, you know, I'll just go sleep on the couch or something. You know what I'm saying? And then work it out. You know, sometimes you just need the space. You know, and it's not that y'all hate each other. It's just that it's not resolved yet. You know, and you just kind of like need, you know, time to work it out. So, you know, like I said, I'm just a believer in sometimes the situation calls for whatever is relevant to that particular situation. You know what I mean? But I definitely believe that there should be open dialogue and we should agree to disagree. And sometimes we, you know, we need to raise our voices to get our points across or whatever, as long as we don't get into the insult game. You know what I mean? To say something that you're going to be sorry for after, you know, later you didn't stung them. You know what I mean? And, or you didn't stung her, and you know what I mean? You didn't kind of did some damage that's going to really take a minute to get undone. And not because you meant it, but because you were just trying to out-insult each other. You know, I think when it goes to that, then it's not even about communication no more. Y'all just really, like I said, just trying to hurt each other verbally. And so it just kind of like goes back to a level of communication that's genuine and just kind of getting it out, even though it may be uncomfortable or whatever. But I think it's really important to have an open dialogue with each other. And if you can resolve it by the time you go to bed, fine. If not, then, you know, just work on resolving it when you can, you know.
Okay. What do you think of a woman who uses sex as I wouldn't say a weapon, but you know, if you don't do something
punishment.
For her, she's not gonna. Yeah, yes, punishment. How do you get around that? Or is there any way you can get around it? Because if a woman say, "Well, if you do this, you don't do that, you're not gonna have any sex," you know, how would you resolve that? Would you just go along with it, or you know, try to talk her out of it, or you know? How would you resolve that? Because some men will say, well, you know, I ain't got to get it from you. Now, they're not going to say that to your face, but that's what's on their mind when they're going out the door. Okay, you don't want to give me none? Sally Sue down the street will. You know, so if your woman is telling you, well, you're not giving no sex if you don't do this or you don't do that, or, you know, she's just not going to give it to you for whatever reasons, how do you handle that?
Well, I mean, you know, one thing is you can't play games and expect the other person not to play the game also. You know what I mean? That's almost like kind of like the risk you take if
right.
that's what you're doing. You know, for me, you know, personally, it's not, sex ain't that big a deal. You know what I mean? If you want to go, if you can, then you can just keep it to yourself. You know what I mean? Because I'm not going to be manipulated like that. You know what
right.
I'm saying? Well, you don't do this, you can't get none. Well, then I guess I won't be getting none. Matter of fact, I don't want it. How about that? We can just keep it to yourself. And I'll just, you know what I mean? Whenever you figure it out, then see me on that, you know.
Okay.
But, yeah, I just don't think that's but, you know, if a man lets her, you know what I mean? I think we can only do but what the other person allows us to do. But I think if you take that card away from her, she sees that, okay, well, I told him I ain't gonna give him none, he still ain't did it, and you know, that doesn't become significant. But I just think that that's a place for dialogue, like, look, you know what I mean, if don't do that, you know what I mean, if you don't want to do it, then that's fine, but don't use it as a tool of manipulation, because how would she feel if a man did it to her? Well, then I ain't gonna have sex with you if you don't do it. How about that?
Yeah, that's true. That's
yeah,
true.
So, you know, we got to look at it from both perspectives. But, you know, normally you would say, well, you know, man don't care, whatever. You know what I mean? He ain't going to – it's rare that a man would probably say that anyway. I ain't going to have sex with you if you don't do this. You know what I'm saying? So.
Okay, so then we're going to talk about the satisfaction coming with lovemaking. What
right.
– Right, I know that you don't have any inhibitions, but, you know, everybody doesn't know that. But what would you do? I mean, you know, there are people who don't know, you
right.
know, because, you know, we have to
millions
tell them that or let them know. But,
as it is, millions of people who don't know.
That's true. But, so you don't have any inhibitions, you know, so you're willing to do whatever it takes to satisfy your partner. But what if she's, you know, has some inhibitions? How would you handle that?
Well,
you know,
I think that
would
goes
you,
with communication. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
What she don't like, she doesn't like. You know, I don't see the need to try to force her into something that she's not comfortable with any more than I feel she would want to force me into something that I'm not comfortable with. You know,
mm-hmm.
I think we can have those discussions and. If that's where she's at, then that's where she's at. You know, I think at this point in time, you know what I mean, for me, if I was dating, there would be, you know, we could have those conversations, well, I don't like to do this, and,
mm-hmm.
you know, there's just certain things. I'm not into oral sex. You know, she was saying something like that. I just don't do that. I think that might have, and to be honest with you, that might play a role in the decisions that I make as far as is this somebody that I want to deal with because it's something that I like. I like giving it as well as receiving it, so it's not like it's
right.
not one-sided. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
That's what I'm saying. So if they have if that's something that they're not comfortable with, then I don't think that's wrong. But it might not be right for me. And they shouldn't see my decision as it being wrong because, you know, hey, I have just as much as right to say, well, you know, if that's something that you're not comfortable with, then maybe we're not, you know what I mean?
Next
because
each other.
I don't care. Nobody says, Yeah, because it's gonna be a problem down the road. You know, you can say, well, okay, it's fine. You know, now if you love her or whatever and you can accept it, then that's great. But like you said, I think it might be a problem down the road if a man is used to that or if a woman is used to that. You know, like if you're used to it. Now, women have been blessed with a higher degree of tolerance than men. Maybe y'all can, you know, well, okay, he doesn't like oral sex, but I love him, so we'll go ahead on and work it out, and I won't worry about. I'll just turn the oral sex button off, and you know what I mean, and then just deal with it like that.
Right, because
but, you know,
I know
like,
that. I'm sorry.
No, I mean, I enjoy it, and you know what I mean? If I'm going to be with somebody, I think it's important for us to be compatible in that area. Not just all, you know, and I'm just giving you an example, but, you know,
right.
Just emotionally and all that. But what were you going to say now?
No, I was going to say, you know, I enjoy it as well. And I also enjoy doing it as well as receiving it. I'm basically more of a giver than a receiver because that's basically, you know, something that I enjoy. But I don't, you know, do that for any and everybody. You know, because
right.
I've been in relationships with guys that I didn't, you know, do that because, it was just something that I wasn't really that, you know, that's just something to me that's really, really, really intimate, you know, that
right.
I do with, you know, certain people that I'm, you know, in a relationship with, you know, long-term relationship or whatever. But, you know, then I've had guys that, you know, weren't into it. But, you know, because I was into them, you know, because like I said, that's what I enjoy doing. And, you know, like I said, I have a few inhibitions, but I've never had any problems in my relationships as far as those inhibitions are, concerned. Because we've talked about it before, you know, I let them know, you know, put my cards on the table, well, I don't do this. And, you know, maybe one day I might do that, but not today, you know. So I haven't had any problems, you know, yet. You know, and I think that, you know, like you always speak of, communication is the key because if you let a person know these things up front opposed to when you get into bed and this guy is waiting for you to go down on him and you've never went down on a guy and you didn't tell him that you don't do that, you know, he's going to be very disappointed and, you know, things are going to happen that you didn't want to happen, you know, opposed to you get in the bed and you say, well, I'm going to tell you right now, I don't do oral. You know, let them know up front because a lot of guys, they expect that because that's basically maybe all the women that they've been with had done it for them or, you know, that's just what they look for in women. But
right.
If you let them know point blank from the top before you even get in the bed, you know, when you're taking your clothes off, you say to him, I don't do oral. So
well,
he has the option right then and there.
The clothes start falling off, I think. You know what I mean?
Huh?
I think y'all need to have that discussion before y'all taking your clothes off.
Well, you know,
you know
that's what I was, the next thing I was going to say, then he has the option to put his clothes back on and leave or whatever, you know, but it's still, we have not committed the act. We haven't, you know, got there sexually, but, you know, I'm just letting him know up front, you know, I don't do that. And if he still wants to, you know, get down with me, you know, without me doing that to him, then, you know, it's all good. But if he don't, put your clothes on and let the door hit you where, you know, the good Lord splits you, you know. But, you know, it's all about communication because if you don't say anything, you know, things can go crazy. They can go in a whole different direction in ways you don't expect. So, you know, if you communicate, you know, that's all it takes is open your mouth because, you know, they say a closed mouth don't get fed. So if you open your mouth, you know, you're going to get some food up in there.
Yeah, a couple other things.
Now, let's talk about enhancements in the bedroom, such as gels and lotions and toys.
Mm-hmm.
Are you a recipient of toys, or do you have you ever used toys, or
I've used, like I think we were talking about, I've used two vibrators on a woman before. No, I don't have a problem. I mean, for me, the most important thing is for a woman to get wet. You know what I mean? I think to me that's the most, that's the indicator right there that she's ready. You know, but if she enjoys, you know, having, you know, certain toys or objects in there with her, you know what I mean? I think that's cool. You know, every situation is different, but, you know, like I said, I've used them, you know, on women, and I was cool with it.
Okay, what about enhancements? Because they have different gels and creams you can put on, because I don't know if you guys know, but I sell adult novelties, and we have a gel that you can put on the man's penis as well as the woman's vagina. Is called, my goodness, I had it right on the tip of my tongue a minute ago, Pure Satisfaction.
Right.
And what this does is when you put it on, it gives you like a cool and warming sensation. And then when you have an orgasm, it makes you, it intensifies it.
Mm-hmm.
It intensifies it. So are you into using like, you know, different enhancements and things
like
that?
Yeah, I've done it. I mean, flavored gels and, you know, because I'm into like licking and kissing anyway. So, you know, flavor gels, stuff that heats up as you move, lubricants. I'm with all of that. Why not?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah,
you know,
because
for me, it's not like a race to just get in there. You know what I mean? I enjoy exploration. I enjoy being explored, but I enjoy exploration as well. I mean, because this is kind of like just being able to unlock who her sensuality or different levels or different nuances of her femininity through exploration and just, you know what I mean, everybody just getting to that point where, you know, they're ready to move into the next phase of their intimacy. But for me, foreplay is just as important as it's part of the act, as far as I'm concerned. You know, when you're with a woman that can appreciate it, that motivates you to do those things, you know what I mean, that can appreciate it, and like you said, that can tell you what she likes or how she likes it or whatever. So whatever it takes, I mean, you know what I mean, to enhance the experience. Yeah, I think it's all good.
Well, let's see. Rhea, do you have any questions? She stays on me.
No, I don't have any questions at the moment.
Okay.
I'm embarrassed. I was singing and y'all, well, that wasn't singing, but okay.
Yeah, we heard you.
I was, whatever that was, you call it. I'm like, oh my goodness gracious. Okay,
yeah, we heard
that
you.
Song. You know how some songs just take you there? That song sent me on a trip right there quick, and it's like, okay, I forgot where I was at for a moment.
Yeah. Well, let me say this. Enhancements and toys in a bedroom are basically just for that. And, you know, some men are intimidated by the various things that you know, as far as like dildos and, you know, the different things that women have. Someone in the chat room put dildos were no longer big enough, so she started making her own. I don't know. But
that's
they said a 1 liter right bottle there. Filled with warm water and a condom. Now that's ridiculous. But anyway, I think that you know, men shouldn't be intimidated, and men who are intimidated, they are must have some type of insecurities going on with them. You know, I'm saying that, you know, women, should not get dildos or vibrators that are bigger than her partner, because I guess he would be intimidated by that, you know.
But I mean,
and
if she needs
always,
that, what is she supposed to do? Just cut herself short in the game? I mean, you
well,
know what I'm saying?
Right, I understand what you're saying, but this is on speaking on behalf of insecure men. Now, a man who's secure with himself, he wouldn't care if she, what size it was, or you know, anything like that. But you know, men who are insecure, they you know feel intimidated, and
so do
you know,
guys
they
compromise yourselves and your desires and all of that for an individual who is so insecure that
insecure.
He's not allowing you to be who you are.
Mhm. That's how I be. And but you know, I've never had those problems because number one, I know exactly what you know to do and what to bring into the bedroom. And basically, I suggest to anybody who starts off first using toys with their partner is to start off with a bullet. You know, then you can maybe work it up from that perspective. But if you, you know, and I'm speaking only on insecure, insecure guys. And there are some out there that are
okay.
insecure.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, you can, you know, get a bullet and then you can, you know, work it up from that perspective. And, you know, maybe you can compromise because, like I said, guys who are not insecure and know what they're doing and they want to really please their women, because mostly some guys actually like to see their partners use the toys on themselves. Most men like that. So if a guy isn't insecure and he has 9 or 10 inches and she pulls out a 9 or 10 inch dildo, and go for it. You know, and he's not going to be upset or mad or, you know, getting angry. No, why you got that bigger than me, you know. But, you know, I mean, that happens, you know, because I had a friend of mine who had a party because I do, you know, the home parties, and it was a co-ed party, and she had bought a vibrator, and you know, after the party was over and all this, and a few days later she called me and she says, do you have anything smaller than the one I got from you? So I said, why? Well, you know, is there a problem with it? So I'm not going to call you name. She said, well, he don't like it because it's bigger than him. And I told her, I said, now you can say whatever you want to say to him, but I think he doesn't like it because he's insecure. So that let me know that he was insecure with it, you know. And I think it was the regular one, it really, a 6-inch one. I think it was a 6-inch one that she had gotten. And I don't think we have many smaller than 6 inches, because 6 inches is the average. Yeah, that's the average. And, you know, so he basically was, no, he didn't want it in there. So,
I switched it up. He had to get it. I mean, you know. So,
yeah.
Were they married?
Yeah. So I just, you know, switched it up, and I gave her, you know, I switched it up for a bullet. And, I guess they were happy with that because I haven't heard anything back from that. But, you know, that's just how it goes with, you know, insecure guys. And, you know, I just.
It's a tricky situation. You
know,
what I mean?
Yeah.
Size can be an intimidating thing for a guy if he isn't, you know, big enough to, you know what I mean? Because some guys, they measure their whole machismo by that, you know what I mean? And their ability to do what they do in the bedroom. Or, you know, not necessarily that they don't define themselves by that, but I think any man that would take pride in being able to satisfy his woman in whatever way he can proficiently. You know what I mean? I think that's just a part of being the lover that you need to be, I mean, for your partner, you know.
Well, I have somebody with their hand up. Let me see who this is. 111, you're on the line. Can I help you? I mean, you have a question or comment?
Guys, how are you? It's Frank Galata calling. Long-time listener, first-time caller. I just was interested in your guys' conversation tonight. I just wanted to say a little bit something about toys. My wife, we've been married for just over 19 years, and I'll tell you, she lately she hasn't been satisfied by what I've been giving it to her, and she wanted me to go to the store, and we did purchase a couple little toys. We tried the bullet out. She said it wasn't big for her, big enough, and. Yeah, you know, I thought I was an average guy. I'm about 6 inches, and I keep it going. We try different positions and everything, but these toys seem to be taking over my my role as a husband, and I'm kind of disappointed by it. And I just wanted to see what your opinion was. She likes to use all sorts of sizes and colors and. You know, I just don't know what to do anymore. It seems like she, she would rather have that than me.
Hmm.
She seems addicted. She seems addicted to it, really.
Hmm.
You know.
Wow. Is that a question for me or for the ladies?
Well, whoever could answer it, I'd buy them a toaster oven.
Well, I would say as a man, you know, from my perspective, I would say that, you know, that could be a scenario that that could be kind of challenging, you know what I'm saying? Because if it's to the point to where she'd rather have sex with, you know, an object than you, yeah, I mean, you know, that kind of hits kind of hard, you know, in a whole lot of areas, love, psychologically, and everything. So, I mean, and I've talked to, you know, some women, and it can be addictive because, you know, it's got a motor in it, you know what I mean? I mean, we can only do but so much, you know, as men or whatever. But that might be a situation that you guys probably need to talk about, and at least maybe, you know, she could still pencil you in and still have her toys, but you know what I mean?
Well, that's what I wanted to try, but for some reason she just said that the toys make her come faster, which makes, like I said, makes me feel a little bit inadequate, and quite frankly, after 19 years, she hasn't complained. I don't know if she's been holding it in, but, I don't know what I should do. I mean, I'm almost tempted to commit adultery.
Wow. That's pretty serious. Well, ladies, yeah. I don't know. I guess that's ladies, what do y'all think about that? I mean, you know, because...
Well, I think maybe you should talk to her and explain to her, you know, how you're feeling, and, you know, maybe she needs to put those toys down, you know, and you try to do whatever is humanly possible to satisfy her, because if you don't, you're either going to be cheating or getting a divorce or something.
Well, you know, I think she's actually lost her mind. She, she's using these things nonstop. She has a name for each one of them. She even told me to put a strap on me to use on her. She loves these things, really. I don't know if she's losing it or what, but she
might need therapy.
Well, that's what I think. I mean, she.
Well, some women do become addicted to them.
Mm-hmm.
They use them so much that their bodies even stop responding. There was this one particular woman I had a conversation with not too long ago, and she, you push it so far, you do it so much, and then all of a sudden that's not enough. So you try to do more, and you try to do more, and you try to do more. She got to the point where she didn't have any feeling in her clitoris at all.
Really?
And she could not understand that. And like I told her point blank, put them things down.
Mm-hmm.
She did put them down, and it took about 2 months for her to, and she started to get the feeling back. But she had no feeling, and it scared the hell out of her. But she was so used to using those things, and like you said, they have a motor in them.
Right. Well, I want to ask you a question. As a woman, do you feel more addicted to? I mean, do you use these quite often, or would you rather have a real man? Or,
now for me, I can't use them. I need a man. So that's just me. I mean, you know, they just don't feel right to me. But that's just me. But those women that have them, like I know a couple of women who have them. And yes, they have them named.
Hmm.
And the named ones have different colors and different textures and everything else.
She has a drawer, you know, designed for it. She even wants to get this. She wants to get this sex chair that's $2,000. She's really becoming. I've never seen this side of her, and you know, after 20 years, you know, it's really putting a strain on our marriage. She's really addicted to
that's
this.
Scary.
Stuff. She says she loves the taste of the plastic, and she wants to get this chair. And I don't know what's going on with her.
She needs therapy. I would suggest you getting therapy for her because she's that far gone. She needs some type of therapy. And we have another call on the line. Thanks for calling in.
That's okay. Thanks for your advice. I appreciate it.
Okay. Hang around. Listen to the rest of the show.
Oh,
okay.
I will. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Caller 1. Where is that caller go? Caller 111, are you there?
Hello, ladies.
Hi.
How are you?
Okay.
Listening to the last caller, and I have a similar problem itself. You bring up the topic of toys and stuff, but what you don't fail to realize, some women actually, what they do is they superimpose the feeling of the toy and replace the touchy-feely what the man gives them. And that's what I've seen to be happening. I believe that Frank, I believe, last call was, he had the same problem. Women tend to, I guess our women, tend to just replace that feeling and then want just what they purchased. You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
They figure that they could get what they want from this inanimate object when, in essence, what they need is right next to them.
But
right,
you know
but
what,
maybe...
Can I say something? Because I think it's important for us as men to realize that, you know, and I'm not saying that this is a case, but how are we as lovers to our women? You know what I mean? We can be right next to her, but do we understand what it takes to turn her on, to make her feel special, to draw her into her sensuality and make her want to make love to us as opposed to it being a wifely duty? Have we taken the time as men to really understand what it takes for our woman to want to be made love to? Because it's different of just, okay, well, this is my wifely duty, but it's important for us to understand that what we have to do to have her to look forward to making love. If you roll over and you start to have foreplay with your wife, does she feel that, I'm just using you, I'm just saying you as an example, but I'm just meaning in general, does she feel that she's going to get just as much out of it as you are, or is it just going to be like, hey, you know, you're just going to get on there, do what you got to do, and roll over, and that's it. And that's a lot to ask a woman to withstand for years and years and years and years and years. I'm not saying that that's you, but I'm just putting it out there like that.
I totally understand, but here's the problem. I myself, I don't know about the last caller having the same problem, but, you know, it's odd that initially I've been married for 15 years, by the way. For 15 years, I was, you know, I was enough. That's all she needed was me. We introduced the toys, but slowly but surely it's become an addiction. Now, I've come home many times after work and find her. You know, you hear the moaning and the groaning. You're like, what the hell's going on? You run upstairs, and she's in the middle of it with her collection. You understand what I'm saying? I don't, you know, you look and you, some guys would be turned off. I just look in and go, what the hell's going on? You know what? You couldn't wait till I get home. Not only that, she's named them. I think the host of the host said that, you know, some of them name them. I find that totally ridiculous. Why are you naming this inanimate object? And then in the midst of making love, let's say, she goes, hey, bring out Big Bubba. What the, you know, you understand, what does that do for my morale? What does it do for my morale? No, I understand it sounds funny, but my morale is totally shot. Who wants Big Bubba in bed? You understand?
Yeah, as a man,
I'm there.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying because, you know, as a man, and I'm with you there, as a man, you know what I'm saying, at least you want to feel that, you know, you're connected because out of 15 years for a man to be with for two people to be with a woman and you to still love her, you know, you want to make love to her and you don't want nothing to interfere with that. You know what I mean? And it's like, hey, you know, I need to go in the drawer and, you know what I mean, pull out the power tools and everything like that as opposed to, I mean, would you feel better if at least after you made love to her, after that, then she did that, as opposed to doing it, like, right in the middle of the act?
It's even worse for me. She finishes herself off with the other. You understand?
Wow.
I'll be in the midst of it, and she goes, now bring in Big Jim, little head top, whatever she calls them. You know, how small does that make me feel? You know, after a while, I'll sneak up, and she continues. I don't share this with her because her happiness is paramount to me. But you know what? It's mind blowing. You know, I've inadvertently thrown some toys away. Yes, and you don't want to know what kind of fights I've been thrown out several times.
Wow, you understand?
And what do you think she makes me do? She makes me purchase it again. You understand?
Well, I think you really need to talk to her, though, man. I think that's one thing that, like I said, I mean, you're sharing it with us, and I can hear your frustration in your voice, and then as a man, I definitely understand and where you're coming from, but I think the main thing is that you need to at least have a dialogue with her. I mean, because it's really not good, man, the whole what you're feeling inside, and, you know, and like you said, you do love her, and it's obvious that you do, but part of you loving her is to at least sit down with her and let her know how it affects you, and then, you know, kind of like see what you can do from that point on. You know, that's just my opinion. I mean, who am I?
No, I treasure your opinion.
Talk to her.
Yeah, it just gets to the point where I actively sabotage the toys. You understand? I actually, you know, take out a wire or, you know, or melt it to a certain degree where it's, oh, you got to get rid of it, hon. And, you know, it just doesn't.
But then that makes her mad at you. Because, you
no,
know what I mean? Then it's like
yeah.
you're being selfish and you're not being considerate of what she wants. Those are her things, you know what I mean? But if you sat down there and talked to her about why you're doing it and how you feel about it, maybe, I'm just saying maybe, you guys may come to a different type of resolution, if it's possible.
No, I even told her to pick up a hobby. I mean, I was a whittler myself at a younger age, and I have all the tools in my garage. I tried to get her away from the stuff, and she picked up the hobby. She was making little toy chests, jewelry chests. But lo and behold, what do you think? I find a pet project hidden in the back of the garage. She's got some wooden shellacked dildo. You understand? Why?
Wow.
You understand? It's consuming her. So, you know, yes, toys, you know, they enhance a marriage. I agree. But in some instances, they just take away everything. And they whittle them down. You understand?
Wow.
And that's why I called. I just wanted to know what kind of, you know, hopefully, you know, I could get to talk some sense into her. But I just think that I've been replaced. These things don't get soft. These things have energy when you switch out the batteries. And I'm getting old. I'm telling you, I'm 45, and I can't keep up with a Energizer Bunny. I just can't.
Right.
Wow, well, you know, like I said, maybe you need to talk to her, maybe she needs to get therapy, but we appreciate your calling in and we appreciate
your
comments.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Okay, you have a good evening.
You too.
Yeah, so that's a problem I see. You know, but you know, that is something, you know, going on in these marriages or things when, you know, a woman becomes addicted, you know, maybe it's because the husband may no longer be satisfying her, or, you know, she may have that addiction because, you know, vibrators, they do vibrate, and they do bring women quicker to climaxes rather opposed to a man. And she has that control of, you know, just when she wants to climax, that's what vibrators do. And incidentally, dildos were around since the beginning of time. Cleopatra used to use a dildo and have orgasms at least 3 times a day. When the electric, the vibrators came into play, basically was because women who were having hard times having orgasms, the doctors used vibrations down there, and so this is where the vibrators came into play, you know. So they've been around for a while, and, you know, as far as, like, being addicted to them, that's, you know, that's kind of personal, or, you know, for some reason this woman is becoming addicted to them. Myself, I have an array of toys, and I have not used, I can't even remember the last time I've used, you know, any of my toys, but as far as an addiction, no. I would never, ever, ever become addicted to an animated object because, number one, you know, after you do that for so long, it can cause problems down there. Mm-hmm. I knew of a person who, I used to work in a hospital, and a girl that came in and she was getting examined, and she told the doctor, you know, because doctors, they can tell different things that are going down within a woman's, you know, vagina. And he asked her, you know, how often she has sex and was she using toys and stuff like that. So she told him that she had been using toys forever, and she had developed cervical cancer. Now, I'm not saying it was from that toy, but, you know, you have to realize that the things that those toys are made out of, some of them are made out of certain materials that can cause cervical cancer if you use them over and over. And I always suggest to my clients to use condoms, you know, when you use those toys. You know, you don't, and to use a lubricant as well.
Right.
So I don't know, you know, what the problem is in these two gentlemen's marriage that is causing their wives to become addicted to these toys, you know. But, you know, hopefully they'll get some help and, you know, get back to, you know, lovemaking with their partners. You know, and I really do feel bad for them, you know, that they're going through that because, you know, toys are not a replacement. They're not supposed to be a replacement. They're only to be, you know, like an enhancement. And to use them all the time, you know, I never suggest that to my clients neither. You know, say if you want to do something different, you know, or your sex is boring, or, you know, you just want to spice it up, you know. But I never tell them, you use this every night, all day. No, you know, just like maybe a little treat or something, you know. But, I mean, you know, that's the
I
real
like
it,
the way
you know.
Said it.
Right, because the very first toy party that I went to, I went crazy. I was buying all these toys, and that's the first time I had, and that was so many years ago. And believe it or not, some of those toys are still in the boxes that I bought for myself. That was years ago, but I was just going crazy because I've never, you know, indulged in anything or seen anything like that. All my girlfriends were there. They was, and I know that hostess, the distributor, I know she made at least $2,000 easily that night because my order was $100 and some. And it was about 30 women in there, and they wasn't joking. They was buying up everything, putting in orders for everything. So, you know, but like I said, I still have some of those things in the box. As a matter of fact, I have to go in my closet and see what they're doing. But, you know, it's, you know,
I can't help but wonder. There's been a lack of communication or something somewhere. I'm at a loss for both of those callers. And it really breaks my heart because you're talking about people that are already married. And it's like, so for years, were you faking it? Were you What happened? Something along the way happened. Something, you know, and see, we get into these habits. We get into these routines, and wow.
Yeah, that's what I was asking him, you know, and it goes back to not saying that that's always the case, but, you know, I think we as men have to really accept the responsibility of being, you know, decent lovers to our wives because, you know, because it sounds like to me, and I'm not saying that that's the case, but if a woman has been married and she hasn't had an orgasm in 15 years and all of a sudden she gets this toy and she realizes an orgasm, you know what I mean? Because
exactly,
yeah. I mean, because I think if a woman, I try to please my wife or my woman as much as I possibly can. So you know what I mean. So it's not like okay, it's just like when you just think when you're like as a guy, as a teenager, the first time you have an orgasm, you off the chain, you masturbate.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't take. You know what I mean? Because it's new. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You can't even, your little thing just be up in the air, the wind blow, you just ready to go. You know what I mean? Because it's new. It's something you have. And it sounds like to me that maybe over the course of these years, these women haven't had any orgasms. And, you know, I mean, because I've talked to women who've been married and they've told me, I've never had an orgasm.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and the orgasm, and if you ain't never had one, and all of a sudden, you know, you get a device and you get one, it's
old. Yeah.
And then you feel slighted because it's like, wait a minute. I've been in 15, I'm not saying this is them, but I'm just saying, you know,
right.
I've been in this situation for 15 years, and I've never had one of these. Oh, it's on now. Let me go ahead and buy another one, get another one, and this, I got some catching up to do.
Yeah, because then you can you have different ones. You have a different type. There are different intensities that you can have based on, you know. But I guess
she didn't. When you
know, I was a love maker, and I say it was because I'm celibate now. But I was a love maker, so marriage started long before the act ever started. And
yeah.
So I oh Lord, let's say it.
I mean, if you got a name, you got multiple ones.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it gets a little deep when you got names for them all.
Oh yeah.
And,
yeah, that's an addiction
personal.
Right there.
That's personal.
Yeah. So they need counseling, or you know, something's you know terribly gone wrong in that marriage, and you know maybe the you know like you said maybe she never have an orgasm. But you know what? We only have 2 minutes left. Next level, you're gonna have to come back again. The time just goes by so quickly, but you know I really did enjoy the show and. Give a little shout out to everybody that was in the chat room. Guests 8336. Fernard, The Essence, Black Man 2137 was in there, and the guys who are listening, just listening through the phone or through your computer, I appreciate you guys coming out. And like I said, we're going to have Next Level back. I don't know when, but whenever your schedule permits, you know, you can give me a call or I'll keep in touch with you. My next show on the 11th is The Misconception of BDSM. That's Bondage, Discipline, S&M. And I'm sure you guys are familiar with that.
Oh, I've been
if
tied
not,
up, blindfolded, and I've been tied
yeah,
up, pulled out, and I've been
all kind
of stuff.
Yeah, so if you don't know, you can tune in next Friday, 11 p.m. Standard Time. And thanks, Next Level. I really do appreciate you and looking forward to doing a part 3. How about that? We're just going to go on and on and on. But I really enjoyed you, and thanks, Ree. Thanks to Essence, everybody, for coming out. And I wish everybody a good night and see you guys next week.
All right. Peace.
Good
bye-bye.
Night. I didn't mean to play that. Okay.
Imagine there's no heaven. It's easy if
wow.
You hell you are. Above the lonely sky. Oh, imagine all the people.